Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is a second part of a series on Pennsylvania and the probate system out there, guardianship, and we're going to be covering that. Coz Wittenscaife is co-hosting with me again, and before we get ready to roll here tonight, I've had some communications today about our show last night and some comments that were made and people wanting clarification. Austin had brought up the fact that these guardians stand in these courtrooms and these tribunals, and they make all these charges against family members, community members, whomever. They found the person living in squalor. They were covered in feces and urine. They were dehydrated. They were starving. They showed signs of abuse and neglect, blah, 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 blah. But as Austin pointed out, do you ever see anybody charged with those crimes? Each one of those things listed is covered, is cited as a crime under various laws, both state and federal. So if you're doing this, wouldn't the standard thing to do, if that hearing examiner up there heard these charges being levied, his job is to collect facts and determine what to do with them. His next step should be to refer this to state court, into a court of law. At this point, you would be charged with whatever crimes they claim you committed, this abusing and neglect and, you know, the whole nine yards, the financial exploitation they say you were doing. So this is what happens. But nothing happens. Basically, what they do is they just move on, take these things as if they're fact. But what should have happened is this should have been referred over to state criminal court and the DA for charging. Doesn't happen. Now, why doesn't it happen? Well, I called around this morning because I had a certain opinion on this and talked to a couple of friends of mine that are attorneys, brought this up to them, and I said, you know, why in this instance are there no charges filed? I said, now my contention is that because this would immediately stop probate and this would go into a criminal court and be charged off that way, and both agreed that that was exactly right and exactly why they don't do it. My suggestion would be to people who face this, immediately stop the proceedings and say, you've just accused me of a crime. And so this has got to stop right here. And who's going to bring the charges against me when? The last thing they want to do is get probate shut down. The last thing they ever want to see happen is for you to go into a court of law where the rules of evidence, the code of civil procedure applies, where they must produce evidence for the claims they made, which in probate they don't. They're not asked for it. They're not going to volunteer it, because most of the time it doesn't exist. But this is exactly why. Compare this possibly to someone saying, you know, that you robbed a bank. Okay, and they're levying all, they used a gun and they kicked the door in and everything else. And they said, well, I think what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to just move on here and we're going to talk about something else. Wouldn't the standard thing to do, you know, press charges against you? You just said I committed a crime. Why didn't you press charges? And this is the question you need to be asking. If I committed these crimes, as you claim, when are you going to levy charges against me? When am I going to be served with papers?
2 years later.
Yes. So this is, you need to be thinking about this, calling these people to task. You know, and I've advocated all along, when you have these prolific predator guardians who have, like the lady we're going to be talking about this evening, more than 100 wards, and sometimes these, we have that one up in Detroit, just absolutely, I just can't even, over 1,700 wards. And when you have these people, you should file, several of you get together and petition, file an emergency petition for guardianship. These people are not only a danger to themselves, but to everyone around them. And I would put it that way. You know, this person is a predator. This is what they're doing. And we need to stop them. And obviously something is mentally wrong. They're compromised. They're incapacitated. Mm-hmm. And drag them right into that probate. And but this is, it's gotten to the point where we have to take the offensive and stop constantly being relegated to the position of defensive. Use their own system against them. And I fully advocate this. I don't advocate violence of any kind, but if you can twist and contort the law to suit yourself so that you can profit, I should be able to twist and contort it to stop you from doing it. Now, that's the way I feel about that. But with that said, I'm going to bring my co-host on, Coswit and Scaife, and let her tell you all the news that is news out of Pennsylvania. So welcome to the show, Cos.
Thank you, Marty, for having me. So last night's show was great, and we had a lot of feedback on that. And Mr. Shenanigans got a hold of me. And for anyone who didn't hear yesterday, we were talking about a Gloria Byers, and she was a guardian that there was an article about. I'm going to do a quick recap. Article about her March 3rd in the Reed and Eagle. And she was actually a convicted felon, served 37 months in jail in Virginia, and it was for financial fraud. So she goes up, after she gets out of jail, she goes up to work in Montgomery County and Philadelphia County and gets appointed, you know, guardian and takes over all these people. Well, anyway, she ripped, was it like $80,000 in 16 months? And the detective in Philadelphia, they, you know, did their thing, and charges were brought up against Gloria Byers yesterday. And that was a big news article. And we were so excited that, you know, this story is making, it was the article was in the Philly Inquirer. So this is like making big news. Well, it comes to be that Mr. Shenanigans let me know that Gloria Byers was appointed 17 wards in Montgomery County. The judge that appointed her most was Judge Stanley Ott. Now, this article, I know, it's shocking, isn't it? So technically she's an Ott hole. So the attorney that she was working with is, and I know some other people that are dealing with him. I have not dealt with him personally, but his name keeps coming up. His name was, last name was Feliciani. So this is an attorney, Feliciani, and he was working with Gloria Byers a bunch, working with this, convicted felon. And so anyway, everyone needs to save face. So now she's busted. This article comes out, people are making a fit. So they need to replace all her wards with another guardian. And except for the people that died during that time, 100% of the wards, do you want to know the name of the guardian who replaced felon Gloria Byers? She's a convicted felon in Virginia, and now she's, you know, this could be a felony that she's going to get again. There's a guardian, and she's an Ott-hole. And her name is Kalpana Doshi. She replaced Gloria Byers. Now, Kalpana Doshi, there is obviously Austin had to deal with Kalpana Doshi with her mother. So we're going to hear about the treatment that you know, the great guardian services that Doshi dished out for Austin's family. But we also have another story, and I do have, there is going to be a link that you can post on your Facebook page that's complete with all the documents. It's a shenanigans video, and it has all the court documents. And to protect the name of the person, we're going to call her Linda. Mr. Shenanigans has told me Linda is still alive. And Mr. Shenanigans has Linda's address. So if any media would like to get in contact with Linda, you can probably get a hold of you, Marty, or go ahead and go to private message Mr. Shenanigans and see if he's willing to, he's going to vet you before. We're not just going to hand these addresses out, but we do have the address
right.
of who we're going to call Linda today. So I'm going to tell you the story of Linda. So Linda, this was 5 years ago this happened to Linda. Linda was 65 years old at the time, and she owned her house outright. And she had recently received a large inheritance. And along comes an attorney named Robert Slutsky. Robert Slutsky has some sort of a contract with the Montgomery County Aging and Adult Services. So he decides that he is going to petition for Linda to get a guardian. And he claims that Linda has alcohol and substance abuse. He also claims that Linda can't pay her bills, but he can't prove any proof. He does not give any proof of any of this stuff. And he said in his petition, Linda needs a guardian to avoid financial ruin. He was very concerned that Linda would avoid financial ruin. So, Judge Ott, I know, he really cares. So, Judge Ott appoints a court-appointed attorney named Jacqueline Schaefer, who, you know, is in there. And then they appoint Kalpana Doshi to be the guardian of the person and the guardian of the estate. Jacqueline Schaefer is the court-appointed attorney, but it was Robert Slutsky of Aging and Adult Services working for Montgomery County that filed this petition, but he also got paid $1,475 out of Linda's estate for his fees for filing this petition with Montgomery County Aging. I mean, if he's an employee of Montgomery County Aging and Adult Services, why are we double-dipping and getting paid again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then there's another $6,000 that Slutsky gets paid, and those documents are going to be on the web. You can see them for yourself. So immediately, Doshi removes Linda from her home, and she does her guardian, inventory. On the guardian inventory, no personal belongings are on that inventory. Doshi, when you see this video, Doshi pretty much sucks at accounting. She has multiple math errors, and Mr. Shenanigans points that out with the court documents on the video. So here is this guardian who's just taken over for financial felon, Gloria Byers, who now can't really do basic accounting. And then Doshi needs to sell Linda's house. You know, bills need to be paid now. So Doshi puts Linda in an apartment for 55 and over, but it's independent living. If you're in an independent living situation, do you really need to have a professional guardian? I mean, you're not in a nursing home, you're not in a memory care unit, you're just in a senior citizen apartment complex. My parents were in that. I mean, 55 and over. Austin, we can move into one of those. You know, I could too. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, so you move her into this independent living apartment, and she also made sure to lock the doors or change the locks on the doors before the house was even sold. And one has to wonder, why would you do that? Usually the doors, the locks are changed after the new tenant takes over. Why are the locks being changed to maybe lock Linda out from getting her belongings? Then we find out that this the math whiz of Doshi is late with her annual report. She also, as the financial guardian, allows bank accounts to overdraft and makes Linda pay the overdraft fees. Now, if you're the financial guardian and you're messing up and overdrafting bank accounts because you're shuffling money everywhere, why does Linda have to pay those overdraft fees? Don't she should be paying those overdraft fees? She's supposed to be the financial guardian. And the first year that Linda's in guardianship, she pays Doshi $14,565 the first year. And in that year, she did cash ATM withdrawals to give Linda, like, her allowance. And that one-year total was $1,400. Now, Linda's living in an independent living, not an assisted living. We would have to assume her meals are not included in an independent living situation. And your laundry and, you know, independent living, not assisted living, you're usually having to provide your own meals, do your own cleaning, do your own housework. And she was only given $1,400 from a cash withdrawal from an ATM, according to the court records. And there's our beautiful Doshi. And Austin has dealt with Doshi firsthand, but this is Linda's story. And Mr. Shanigan is going to be handing us a story to remember the people who now no longer have a voice. Once again, there's still time for Linda to be saved if some federal agencies would go in and start investigating this stuff, because Linda is still alive. So that is the end of Linda's story.
My God.
I have. Mm-hmm.
That is just, and they do this stuff all the time. And just the way you relayed that there, it points out the idiocy of all of this. And the obvious, this is obvious abuse and theft of estate, targeting someone who's doing fine on their own because they got some money and a house. Jesus.
Yeah.
I just,
but you know, the funny thing
is,
get this. Is that she needed a guardian to, quote, avoid financial ruin.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that
interesting? And based on what? Yeah, based on what?
Nothing.
Avoid financial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to
maybe
avoid.
Maybe she needed a guardian to make sure. Yes, yes. Yeah, go ahead.
They needed to avoid. Slutsky needed to avoid financial ruin in Doshi. So I guess, you know, who needed to avoid financial ruin in this case?
Yeah,
doesn't
there
look
you
like
go.
It was Linda.
So, no. So what's the big giant aunt doing these days, the head aunt? What's he
oh,
doing?
Oh, my goodness. So he retired, and now he's working. This is an article that came out in March. He is now going to be in a private practice. It's the Prior Mannion Law Firm that specializes in guardianship, estate planning, and will contesting. And now they're going to have a new – are you ready? This is so exciting for this law firm. They are going to have a new thing in their law firm, and it's going to be called mediation. And because of having, you know, the wonderful Judge Stanley Ott, with all his years of experience, they're going to do mediation through this law firm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
you can avoid going – and it said in the article, you can avoid – all the court costs by just going to mediation.
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah,
the
right.
next thing. That's the next thing for
yes.
Judge Stanley Ott.
Mm-hmm. And that man should be in prison. And everybody that worked with him doing this should be in prison. They're predators. That's all there is to it. They're predators.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I just don't get it. You know, because I've been doing this a long time, so have a lot of other people, and these stories just get worse. They just get worse. And the more we sound the alarm, you see the most bizarre things happening. I was looking into this new guardianship tracking system that supposedly Pennsylvania put in place, and this looks like a big expenditure of money that's going to do absolutely nothing. Says it's allowing courts from various counties to flag troublesome guardians. really? Really? Hmm. You don't need that system. You got all these people out here blowing the whistle on them. Yeah. Why aren't you doing something?
Yeah.
You know,
they'll probably flag family member guardians.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And that was another thing that came in too in communication. They appoint guardians because nobody in the family wants old people. That's not true. We have families in there clawing and scratching and fighting and trying to get that, saying, I'll take them, I'll take them, I'll take care of them. I've been taking care of them. You know, she doesn't need a guardian, or he doesn't. They're with us. We take care of them. They live with us, or we live with them, and we look after them, and things have gone fine. They absolutely will not let these people have them. When your state attorney general said it is a real problem, but the problem seems to be we need more guardians. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Do you know where? What county that attorney general of Pennsylvania is from?
No.
It would be Montgomery County.
Montgomery.
So when they when the election happened, you had a Republican from Montgomery County or you had a Democrat from the Montgomery County to choose from. They had their man in no matter who won the election.
Yes.
Most of the people running for that election were from Montgomery County. They should have left Bruce Castor in there.
Yeah.
But
well, you know
this
thing with this Bayer woman, they had to have known. I'm sorry, they had to have known this woman's history. They had to have known what she was doing. But I think she was sacrificed so they could say, oh, we didn't know it was this bad. We need more guardians. And now we need these people doing it, and we need this tracking system. And this is such a problem. And see, this just highlights it. And, you know, yeah, it's all a setup. It's all a setup. I don't know even how to say it. You're being manipulated. They take this terrible story of this woman with this terrible history, and they parade it out in the public, and they're going to prosecute her because she was doing wrong. But they're all doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're all abusing people. They're all stealing other people's assets with the full view and cooperation of this, like in this case, Judge Stanley Ott. So they're doing this. They know full well what's going on. They don't need a guardianship tracking system. Just look at the court docket. It'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
And, so I don't know. But go ahead on, Kaz. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, now, do we have Austin on?
Yes.
Okay, Austin's on. So Austin actually got to experience firsthand Robert Slutsky and Doshi Kapana, and I know that we would love to hear how did they come into Austin and her mother's life? Like what happened that they came into your life, and how wonderful were they?
Go ahead, Austin.
So I'm trying to figure out, do I start from the back forward or the forward back? So on January the 23rd of 2013, someone came to my door, a lady named Treva Olson, and she came in our home and accused my sister of financial mismanagement to my mother. And to me, she was the assessor. She wanted to see if there was any family dissension. If they can find that your family's broken apart, that's it. They're going to jump on you like a. Okay. So that's what began this process. About 20 days later, Doshi and Diane Sabowski met with me, and they wanted to see if I thought my mother was in any financial danger. And my version of this is what goes on between my mother and her daughter is my mother and her daughter's business. That's in-house business. It has nothing to do with anybody in the street. My mother can deal with her child any way she wants to. My mother had dementia, but she wasn't out of her mind. She knew how to chastise her child. And I've never had a time when anybody asked my mother for anything that my mother didn't basically say yes. And that went back from the time I was, five until time she was not here. But in any case, let me fast forward this sucker. So it now is, let's say, May of 2013. That's the first time anybody went into court. Matter of fact, at that point, we hadn't even gone to court. And they started getting all of my mother's checks. Now, my mother was a retired GS-18 employee from the federal government. She also had retired from civilian life, so she was getting a Social Security pension. All total, my mother was worth almost $7,000 a month just in retirement benefits. We're not talking any of her CDs, treasury bills, none of that nonsense. We're just talking straight shot money. Between March of 2013 and the day my mother died, February 14th in 2016, they never gave my mother $1 of her money with which to buy a cracker. Not $1. And this is when she was living in her own home, because from the moment they came in the house in January 2013, they didn't remove my mother from her house until September of 2013. And in those months, they never gave my mother $1 of her money with which to buy any food, pay any bills, anything. Now, what they did with that money, they had a good time. They must have had a good time. If I had not been living here and paying bills, who knows what would have happened to my mom. I made sure there was food in the refrigerator. I made sure there was that everything kept getting done. And to this moment, Judge Ott, no one has ever, and I've taken this to the district attorney's office in Montgomery County. I have taken this to the attorney general in Pennsylvania. I've taken this to the FBI, DOJ, Homeland Security. You name any digits, and I have taken it to them. Anybody that I could think of, and then some. I've gone to Channel 6, Channel 10. Let me do it a different way. ABC, NBC, CNN. CNN, I've taken it everywhere, and everybody thinks that we're joking about this. Well, it's all in the paperwork. You don't have to believe me. Don't believe me as a daughter. Look it up. Take 5 minutes and look it up. When they took my mom, or when they first started to take my mom was a healthy, happy woman. She had a life. She had a lifestyle. She went out with her friends. Even with her dementia, she went out with her friends to lunch every week and got her hair done, got her nails done. She lived a normal retired woman's life and enjoyed it. When these people came along, they imprisoned my mother, and I knew immediately that this was bad. I didn't know how bad it was. When they finally took my mother out of her home, one of the things that's in court testimony, I said to Ott and everyone else that my mother had made me promise when I was maybe about 12 years old that I would never put her in a home. And I don't even remember how that conversation began, but she grabbed my hands and made me promise that I would never, ever put her in a home. I repeated that in court testimony. Sorry, a little emotional. And told Judge Ott, because though she had implied that she was going to, in order to get everything in order, she was going to remove my mother from her home just so she could put things in order, and then she could go back to her home. And I said, no, 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 this is not going to happen. You're not going to put my mother in her home. So then Ott puts in this this decree that my mother could not be removed from her home unless everybody went back to court. So my mother was saved, and I think this is now April when this happened, because that's exactly when, at first, my godfather was, they were just talking about a guardian of finance, not a guardian of person. My godfather, who had AAA credit rating, was vetted by Trivia Olsen, Diane Zabowski, and Kapana Doshi. They had spoken to him. They ran his credit. They da-da-da-da-da. That's who was supposed to be my mother's guardian, and that's who my mother agreed to. The moment we got in court, all of that flipped upside down. Not only did Doshi, who my mother did not know, become guardian of finance, and I remember Judge Ott saying to my mom, well, who do you want? And my mother asked him she wanted to speak to me about it. And Judge Ott would not recess the court so that my mother could stop and talk to me. Diane Zabowski sitting next to my mother, and they tried to bully my mother right through this. And at that point, Doshi was on the stand. Now, why Doshi was on the stand defies my imagination, because at that point, Doshi was not my mother's guardian. So why and at that point, Diane Zabowski had not been appointed as my mother's lawyer, because none of that was in court. None of that was in court. All of that happened that day. Defies my imagination. Defies everybody's imagination. But fast forward, my mother and I had several bank accounts together. And when all of this, and again, please forgive me, I'm a little under the weather today, so I know I'm telling a raggy story. When my mom was forced into having Doshi as guardian of person and finance, I spoke to Doshi and I said, wait, my mom and I have joint accounts together. Are you going to shut down those accounts, or what's going to happen? I need to understand this, because you have my personal money in there. And Doshi, little devil smile, said, oh, no. Your accounts with your mom won't be subject to anything else. We'll remove your mother's name from them, and it won't be a problem. Of course, the opposite happened. I think between the CDs that I know are missing, there are four CDs from what used to be Willow Grove Federal, which is now KeyBank, and there are three CDs missing from our favorite bank, Wells Fargo. We're talking over $150,000, $160,000 that's missing. The banks are saying, "Oh well, we see that you have the original documents, but we can't find these documents, so the money's gone." Oh well, Doshi removed my mother's Social Security number and my Social Security number from every single bank account, so that we can't even find this stuff now. And the banks allowed it to happen. When I took it to the FBI and everybody else, everybody said that they weren't allowed to do this, but nobody wants to prosecute it. In May of 2016, we get a letter, and I just happen to have it from, of all people, our other favorite person, Robert Slutsky. Now, this is after my mother has been, I'm sorry. I really shouldn't be doing this tonight because I'm so foggy. After my mother has been forced to have these two knuckleheads in her life. Now, Slutsky, there are a whole bunch of interesting things about Slutsky. Slutsky was supposed to be part of, when he introduced himself to me, and my play sister was right there, he said he was part of the district attorney's office. That's exactly what who he said he was. Then I find out that Slutsky is, or at that time, was part of Adult Protective Services. Slutsky wrote us a letter on May 10th, 2013, and it's on, this is the stationery it's on, Robert M. Slutsky Associates, Elder Law, Estate Planning, Real Estate, and his address and his subsequent email. It says, I represent Kapana Doshi, plenary guardian of the estate of Lillian Gibson. You are, oh, I'm in the wrong. I'm sorry, I'm reading one I can't read. You are residing in the estate real property located at da-da-da-da-da in Willow Grove. There is no lease. Unfortunately, Ms. Gibson's finances are depleting, and the sale of the home has become necessary to pay for her care. Now, my mother, they had just taken over my mother's life not 25 days before that. Again, my mother was pulling in $7,000, a little over $7,000 every single month. How are my mother's finances depleted in 28 days to the point where you have to sell her home that she's living in? That she's living in. And then it goes on to say that they have to sell her car and everything else. I shot back an email to Brain Trust and told him that my mother had already sold the house to me and that this was not going to happen. I am still in my home. Despite, in spite, everything that they've done, I am still in my home. That's a miracle. But they did finally remove my mother. An absolute miracle. They removed my mother from her home in September of 2013. My mother never, ever got a chance to walk back in her own home. The reason they actually removed my mother from her home is because there was a reverse mortgage, a fraudulent reverse mortgage taken out on this property. And with a reverse mortgage, I'm not even going to do that.
Who took that mortgage out?
I'm not going to do that.
Who took that mortgage out?
I'm not going to say that.
There's still litigation. Yeah, there's still litigation going on.
Okay. Okay.
But what I will say about that is in one of my mother's bank accounts, there was $138,000. That is part of court testimony. According to Judge Ott, because I had requested that money be returned to the reverse mortgage company, because that's how all of this started. That's how the financial misdealings began, because this great sum of money was in there and the money was being spent very quickly. So I asked that money be returned immediately to the reverse mortgage company. So that was one debt that was off the books. Let me also say that during this time, Kapana Doshi never paid one light bill, didn't pay a credit card bill. Most of my mother's bills were up to date because my mother was one of those people that paid their bills 5 days beforehand, not the day they were due. So, and she would do double payments so that it would just get done faster. That was my mother's nature. I'm going to go back and deal with the reverse mortgage later because that's a whole separate funny issue for everybody else that's dealing with reverse mortgages. That $138,000, I wrote Doshi and Diane Zabowski several times about that, stating that this money has not been returned. This money has not been returned. This money has not been returned. This went on for 6 months. at the seventh month or something like that, Capanadoshi actually wrote me a letter that said, "What money?" And she said, "Well, if you can find this money, then I'll go ahead and return it." To which I said, "It's you testified about that money being in that account. It is part of your evidence. What do you mean, what money? This money has just, boom, disappeared. That $138,000, had it been returned, would have made life different. That $138,000, that debt there became, 3 years later, became $293,000 worth of reverse mortgage. Do you hear what I'm saying? A $138,000 reverse mortgage became $293,000.
Wow. That's some interest charging.
Those reverse mortgages, are only, they run for 25 years. So can you imagine at the end of 25 years? Yeah.
Hello.
Go ahead.
But Joshi, who was appointed to make sure that this would not happen, that no financial fraud would happen to my mother, was the person who had the greatest fraud, who did the greatest fraud to my mother, the greatest harm. Because the end game was always, and to everybody listening, you have to understand that there's an end game with them. The end game is always getting the house. Whatever house is, that's the big ticket item. The jewelry, my dad used to get all of our jewelry made. So we all have exquisite pieces. My mother, the day they took my mother, had 3 diamond rings. The gold in those rings has to be, oh, my God. When my mother played, you could literally hear her rings hitting the piano key. To this day, it's like a church joke because you could hear it. All 3 of those rings are gone. They're gone. Where did they go? I bought my mother a blue topaz that she wore around her neck every day from the day I bought it for her until that's gone. Nobody knows where it is. I've written Joshi on it several times. Oh, I don't know. Well, it's your job to know. It was there. It was there with my mother before you came. You took her from one place to the other, and she had it on then. Where did it go? Let me fast forward. And I told you all this story yesterday. And my mother's been living in this horrible place, Spring Meadows. My mother's hair was beautiful. They shaved my mother's head like, and for anyone that isn't African American, you won't be able to quite understand this. Well, maybe. They shaved her head like she was a slave, cut all of her hair off down to her very scalp. And what that did to my mother's heart and her emotions, I'll never forgive them. Only God can make me forgive them, and I'm working on that only because I have to. That they did that to any human being was abhorrent. It just strikes of an evil that, because women just love our hair. We love our hair. So to have someone just come in and shave it off so that they don't have to deal with it or so that they can break your spirit is just cruel. My mother, every night in that place, was afraid. Every single night she would call me and said, "I can't lock my door. I'm afraid somebody's going to walk in here. I'm absolutely afraid." In my mother's house, she never went hungry, not for a quarter of a second. In Spring Meadows, my mother often was hungry. And when I found out that she was hungry, I would send her food at 7 o'clock at night so that she could eat. They would feed them at 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock and their last meal would be at 4 o'clock. Now, most people don't eat at 4 o'clock, especially when, you know, all their life they would eat around 6, 7 o'clock at night. But it was more important that the staff be finished at 4 o'clock or by 5 o'clock instead of feeding their people in a reasonable hour. They didn't even give them a snack later on at night so that they wouldn't be hungry all night. I would send food in with my mother, and then the staff would sometimes eat it. I had to call my mother several times to make sure she actually got this thing in her hand.
Austin, stop just a minute. Stop just a minute.
It's so unbelievable.
Please, stop just a minute. Cause, are you getting? Are you?
Yeah, it's kind of like the phone. The reception is getting fuzzy. On
yeah,
am I fuzzy? Yeah, Austin's breaking
yeah.
up.
No, you're clear. It's you, Austin. Your line is breaking up.
Is that better?
No.
Let me hang up and call you right back.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was, you know, talking about these reverse mortgages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've seen the commercials with Tom Selleck, where he said 68 million boomers or 48 million and 6 trillion in equity investment in property. The elderly are the largest block of homeowners in the country, and they're after those homes. And that 6 trillion reasons they're going to target you. But go ahead. Let's see. We got her back.
Okay. Is this any better?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Austin.
No, thank you. The short version of all of this is in, I believe now, we'll fast forward to, she's done 2 years in this horrible place. She's hungry. She's lost so much weight. It's ridiculous. And again, same thing I said last night, had I done anything that they did to my mother, I would be in jail. January 2015, I finally write a letter to Doshi and to Diane Sabowski. Judge Ott, Judge Murphy, and several other people in Montgomery County stating that my mother was dying. If she stayed in there another year, she would be dead. You could see it on my mother's face. You could see it in her eyes. You could see in her body weight. My mother was also in severe pain at that point. They had not taken her to the doctor. What they did do was give her drugs to keep her sedate all day. They would shove it in Ensure or in chocolate pudding or something like that. And one day I happened to be there to see this. I was floored. And what really is funny is they actually charged those drugs to my mother's insurance. They made my mother pay for her own drugging. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I got no answer from that email. No surprise. I again emailed them the same thing in March because I could not get to see my mother. I would talk to my mother 3 to 4 times a day. There were times when Doshi did not pay the phone bill, so my mother did not have a phone to call me on. I would just call Spring Meadows 8, 9 times a day. And Spring Meadows told Doshi that she needed to get that phone on because they were really tired of Lillian Gibson's daughter calling through their phone system. But often, and I think it was very intentional, you can't use my mother's money to keep her phone on, but you can use my mother's money to keep your phone on, get your hair done, feed your family, but you can't use her money to do her. Seriously, there is a place in hell that's going to be so hot that she can't even stand. Now it's June. My mother has been in horrendous pain for more than 8, 9 months. I'm not allowed to take my mother out of there to take her to a doctor. Not allowed. The Guardian, Spring Meadows, no one took my mother to see a doctor until the point where my mother was vomiting She was just massively vomiting one day. They finally took her to, I believe it was Lansdale Emergency Hospital. Lansdale then subsequently transferred her to Abington. My mother had stage 3 cancer because of them. And my mother had already had her cancer screenings like right before all of this happened. I believe it was the stress. I think it was something they may have injected in her. Only God knows the truth. But what I know is that she did not have it before these idiots took her. And she definitely had stage 3 cancer. Now, if you are the guardian of person, you are supposed to be getting her cancer screenings done every 6 months because my mother had a history of cancer. So that's your job to get that done. It's her job to get it done. Never did she do this. What I found out from looking at subsequent bills, after I wrote both of these idiots about my mother being ill, they didn't even make a phone call to each other to say, well, maybe we should take Ms. Gibson to a doctor. Dan Zabowski, as my mother's attorney, should have immediately called Doshi and said, look, I'm Ms. Gibson's attorney. Ms. Gibson's daughter saying that her mother looks very ill. According to Spring Meadows, Ms. Gibson is in a great deal of pain. You need to get her to a doctor because that's what your job is. Never did that conversation take place. It didn't take place that whole week after the first email, and it didn't take place for the next 30 days after that because I looked on their billing cycles. Never happened. They did start talking after my mother was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. They thought my mother wasn't going to live through the surgery. Almost everybody thought my mother wasn't going to live through the surgery. Everybody except me. My mother was going to live just so that she could spite them. They were getting ready to turn back over my mother's guardian of person because they didn't want to be responsible for my mother dying in this surgery. When they found out my mother not only lived through the surgery but was going to live, they decided not to turn that back over. And the beat goes on. My mother died 6 months after that on Valentine's Day of 2016. And still we have this horrible woman in my life. I've never been able, my mother never got a birthday card. She never got, we didn't even know that my aunt had died because they sent the card. Oh, sorry, I forgot this part of the story. Kapana Doshi got all of my mother's mail. All of my mother's mail sent to her. And part of that was so she could find out what monies my mother had. But the personal mail was supposed to come back to my mother. Any cards, anything that was personal was supposed to be returned to my mother. We didn't find out that my aunt had died until after the funeral, after everything was over, because they sent the card in my mother's name. Unbelievable. To this day, Diane Zabowski or Doshi has all of my mother's personal mail. Now, this includes stuff from her funeral, cards and letters that people sent to Lillian Gibson's family, but it has Lillian Gibson on it, so it immediately went to Doshi. All of that stuff, never got it. She didn't have the good grace to even turn those over to us. How much money is missing just because she didn't turn that over?
Oh, yeah, all that memorial money. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And my mother had friends from all over the world. I've not done this story justice. If you don't hear anything else I've said, hear this. In all the time, Kapana Doshi, Diane Zabowski, were in my mother's life. They never gave her $1 of her own money with which to live. That's the whole story. That's the whole story.
That's bizarre. That is, how did they, Austin, how did they get away with that? They were supposed to, I mean, obviously they did get away with it, but how did they get away with it when, you know, it says that, you know, they have to,
yeah,
I don't understand.
They have to. You're right. Nobody else does either. No one else does. And no one believes that this, in fact, happened. And you say to them,
oh,
well, go look it up. When my mother died, and they did along with this, Diane Zabowski is, excuse me, though she's supposed to do every 6 months, she's supposed to give a report money spent, money's gotten, whole nine yards. I have never, ever seen one report from this chick, not one, until my mother died. And they said the sum total of my mother's estate, sum total. Now, my mother was a saver. She believed in family inheritance. That was her big thing. I think they said my mom had a total of $18,000 left in her estate. $18,000.
And who took that?
Oh, no,
who
it's still
that?
There. It's still there.
Oh.
But this is after they took out every bill that they could possibly take out, paying the lawyer to pay the lawyer. Diane Zabowski actually had a lawyer that my mother had to pay for. Now, all of that's going to get adjudicated. I know they think they got away with it, but they didn't. But they didn't. You know, and it's fine. That's what I love about it. If you let people go on long enough, they will put themselves in jail. You don't even have
yeah.
to work hard to do it. They'll do it for them, for you. It is amazing. It is absolutely, absolutely amazing. Even that Slutsky would write this letter. And Slutsky at that point was one of the higher ups in Adult Protective Services. How do you double dip and say, again, it had been 20 days since Doshi became the guardian of person and the guardian of finance. How in 20 days has my mother's anything been so depleted that you had to sell her home when you just got her? According to that, you just got every nickel that she ever had and not one person that we showed this to had the personal honor to say, well, wait a minute, there is a serious problem here. Because we didn't just show them this letter. We showed them the court proceeding of when my mother was given to these evil people, which was literally 20 days before that. 20 days. Now, I don't know who in the world could spend that much money even in 20 days. That takes some doing. And you didn't feed her. You didn't pay her bills. So where's that money depleted? One of them must have gone on one heaven. Oh, the trip. Okay, my mom was, again, she had been taken into Lansdale Hospital. Doshi was going on her annual trip to India to see her mother. And this was, I'll never forget this. This was the day my mother was just violently ill. Called Doshi up and I said, look, Doshi, you're the only person that can make decisions over my mother. Appoint me as emergency something while you're gone, because someone has to make decisions, because they're not allowing me to make these decisions and they're not giving me information. Doshi said, and I have it in writing, I don't have time for this. I have to make a plane. The only reason Doshi is still alive is because I couldn't get to her that day. I don't have time to deal with your mother because I have to get on a plane. Her husband then called me back because I kept calling her over and over again because
at this point, I think my mother's definitely dying. Something is absolutely wrong. Her husband called me back and said, don't you dare call my wife. At which point I said, I'm going to call your wife until she does her job.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Man.
Wow.
See, I can wait, you know, as much as I have a really great imagination. I have a really great imagination. And I can think of ways to harm. And I have. I really have. I don't even want to hurt her. I want to go after the one thing that she loves. That's the thing that I want to hurt. That's how my imagination is. And God keeps saying, well, as good as your imagination is, I'm infinitely better because I gave you your imagination. You never go for vengeance. Let me do my job. And that's the only reason Doshi's still alive today. That's the only reason.
Wow.
Because my mother made me believe in a God.
Wow.
And they need to be really afraid because my mother saved their lives.
Yeah. And Marty, Austin and I were friends during all this time, and I remember all these things. And I remember, still remember, like, when Austin was so excited. She's like, I'm getting my mom back. I'm getting my mom back when she was going into surgery. I remember all those things. Like, I remember going through all this with Austin. Like, that's how close that we've all become. Like, we went through all this together because we knew all the players. When everyone else is like, this is crazy, you guys are conspiracy theories, like, we got it. And I just feel like that's just the bond. Like, as I said yesterday, like, Austin and I were messaging each other this morning, like, she's just one of my dearest friends, and I'm gonna like start to cry, like, how special she is to me and what a friendship that we have, and that I was there, and I know that everything that she is saying, she is telling the truth, because we were friends then, and we went through this together and supported. And I just remember crying my face off the day that I found out that her mom had died, a woman that I had never met in my life. I bawled my face off. It's just the saddest story.
And you know, the worst part of this is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you went, Austin.
Because of cause and a few other people that I got up and you know, because depression will get you. Again, I've never grieved over my mom. I've never had. When they go to jail, then I'll grieve over my mom. Until
I feel
then,
the same way as Harvey.
Right. We don't have that luxury right now to grieve. We can be angry, we could be this, we can be that. We cannot grieve yet. I said I would not place a stone over my mother until this was done. When you know, at the end of a lot of old songs, even at the end of Christ on the Cross, he said, "When this is finished." When I'm able to say that over my mom, that's when I will put a stone on her grave. That's when I will go somewhere and grieve for my mother. Until then, it's just a fight. It's just a fight. And they're going to go to jail. They're going to jail. They're going to jail.
Well, I'll tell you,
we've
got to, you know, you talked to Austin about having gone to the FBI and, you know, I mean, everybody, Homeland Security, everybody could think of, and I get tired of this. We're paying these people, and they're supposed to be these big crime fighters, and they're supposed to exist because, you know, they're there to protect us and blah, 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 and it is the last thing they will do. Unless the government has suffered injury, they won't act. And if you read their charters, why they exist, that is the only time they act is if the government, they are the protection for the government. The DOJ told me point blank, we are not here to protect you. We are not here to do anything for you. What we're here for is to protect the government from you. You mess up, we'll be after you. Messing up meaning if I cause injury to the government, meaning monetary. So, you know, we've got all these agencies that supposedly we're paying. Senator Grassley, that bill that came out here last year, whenever it was, S-178, the Elder Justice and Protection Act, and everybody's going, oh, thank God, oh, thank God. You didn't read the bill, did you? It was a reiteration of standing state and federal statutes and laws against wiretap, internet fraud, phone scams against the elderly. That's all it was. But in the middle of it was this whole section that said to further protect and empower, you know, the people that are trying to save these people, protect them, and give them more funding. And they listed all these agencies that we fight on a daily basis and added a whole bunch more. And I, honest to God, almost threw up when I read it. These people, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of bills coming out that supposedly are going to fix everything, but there's clinkers all the way through it. You have to learn to read that legislation, regardless
Absolutely.
Of what kind of warm fuzzies the title gives you. Read that legislation. Backtrack those changes to code and statute and title and see what that bill actually says. Because it has been my experience over 30 years of doing this, that once you do that, you find out that what that bill actually does and says it will do is entirely different than what you think. It is an exercise in subterfuge. It's a con job, and it's going to hurt you. In all of the bills, what's lacking is any teeth. There's no citing of crime for professional predators. There's no citing of crime by attorneys. We have these things in the U.S. code about fiduciary duty, and your job as a fiduciary, and you cannot profit from being a fiduciary. Yeah. But none of these bills cite the fact if you violated this code in your professional capacity, you're guilty of a felony crime. None of them say that. And further, they do not mention enforcement, how this would be enforced, and who would do that enforcement. So when you go to law enforcement, you say they've done this, this, and this. Well, we don't have any authority to do anything. You know, if you don't like it, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, I have
a
horrible delay. And I,
yeah.
Yes, I end up interrupting you, and I really do apologize.
That's all right.
In Philadelphia, we had this mob guy. What is his name? A little short guy. Can't think of his name at this point. He was extorting money from the leading builder in Philadelphia at that time, which was Willard Rouse. This is how he got put in jail. Now, if the FBI can go in and get that mob guy for extorting money and stealing money from Willard Rouse, please tell me why the FBI can't go and get these people for stealing money from my mother.
I'll tell you why.
A retired federal employee.
All right, but I'll tell you why. When they go after a mob person, the first thing they are charged with is tax evasion.
Well,
you cheated
and that's
the government.
Funny because I went to the IRS and I said, "Well, wait a minute. This guardian has not filed any of my mother's taxes since she's had her."
Mm-hmm.
And they can't file the taxes because then they have to account for that money.
Right.
And still the IRS has done nothing.
Right, exactly, because the charge has to be brought by the FBI. The FBI won't get involved until police investigate. And once they finish their investigation and sign off it, no matter how that comes out, now the FBI can become involved. But the police never conduct the investigation. See how that works?
Never.
The police will say,
Montgomery County is a joke.
Yeah. So see, they don't do. There's steps to this. It's like a puzzle you have to put together, and so you know, it's like here in Minnesota, with some cases here a few years back, I went to the police, and the police said, "Oh, we can't do anything about it. You need to go to the sheriff's department." Okay, so I went to the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department said, "Well, that's out of our jurisdiction and
Absolutely.
Out of what we're capable of doing. You need to go to the state attorney general's office." Okay, so I went there. And that's where I was informed by the state of Minnesota. This has been 5 years ago. that the same thing the DOJ in D.C. told me. We are not here to protect you. Our job is to protect the government from the people of the state. And if you injure the state, you don't pay your taxes, you know, you cost them money, you cheat them out of something they thought was theirs, then we'll come after you. And I said, so what do we do? I said, and we're actually paying you. And so anyway, they said, what you have to do is go to the police. So you just get sent around in a circle. And so it's like going to Congress. Go to your representatives.
Oh, my God.
And say, yeah, we need help here. This is what's happening. You have the power to write the laws. All bills must originate in the House. So you need to write a law. We need a law from you that prohibits this kind of stuff. Oh, we can't get in that. That's judicial. That breaks the separation of powers, and we can't do that. You have to talk to the judiciary, so go to the judiciary. Oh, we can't do that. We can't make laws. They do it from the bench all the time. We can't make laws. That's legislative. You have to go to them. Well, I went to them. They sent me to you. Oh, I don't know why they did that. I don't know either. And actually, they're both telling you the truth and lying to you at the same time. All of these probate courts are controlled by what's called an umbrella agency. In almost every state, it is the equivalent of the federal Health and Human Services. And you have a Health and Human Services in your state. They contract with the federal version. And there is a memorandum of understanding saying what each of them expects of the other. Then there's the formal contracting, and this is contract law. And here's another thing. Now you're out of state and you're the common law, okay? Now you're dealing with the international law of contracts. So they sign this contract, at which time, in order for the federal government to get into your state to implement their business plan, they must supply funding, which is called bribery in any other circle. So they give the state X amount of dollars to implement this federal business plan. And with it comes all sorts of cash funding out of Title 20, Social Security, block grants. Health and Human Services is shipping money their way. They work on a quota system. They have to determine every quarter how many people they're going to drag through the system, and they have to give this estimation, turn this in. They have to meet that quota. If they don't, they lose all or part of their funding, and they expect that quota to increase by at least 6% every quarter. Now, tied to the number of people they drag into the system, of course, is federal money. And the more people you drag in, the more money. Where does this money go? Well, it goes to pay for at least 60% of the administration of these agencies like APS. And all of the money that comes in that they nail you for, that they nail the estate for, and out of that estate, money is paid almost like a fine. And it goes into the state treasury. No strings attached. Okay? And everybody... In your case, Austin, everybody who targeted your mother made money off of her.
Oh, absolutely.
They made money. Yes, the attorneys made money. The guardians made money. The big hole made money. Any agency involved made money. Any doctors involved, the nursing home, all of them are making money off of her. That one person can be worth, depending on how much they got and how quick they're working the system, can be worth a couple million a year. And this is money, this is one of the hidden drivers of your local economy. You take that out of there and watch things slow down. When we've got law firms across the country, most major law firms, 60% of their income comes from doing guardianship cases. It's their bread and butter. It's what keeps their bills paid. We have a whole system of predators set up, protected by the courts, protected by these federal agencies and state agencies, that they all know full well is operating full blast. Now we have hospice in it. And hospice is the coup de grace. What used to be the Good Samaritan is now the Grim Reaper. And what hospice's job is to take as many people out as quickly as they can, every month, and they are doing a fine job of it. The first year I looked at statistics on this, which came from Health and Human Services federally, they said, and you never heard this on the news, all they're crying about Medicare, 2.1 million people on Medicare died. And I thought, what? Yeah, okay. This was for 2010. I'm looking at how this broke down. Over, I think it was 726,000 of them were in hospice. Now think
about
that. Yeah, they were in hospice. And this, they're kicking this into high gear. More and more people are being shoved into hospice. They're being determined to have terminal illnesses that they don't have. We've caught that several times. They put them in there, immediately withdraw food and hydration. In 4 days without water, your organs are shutting down. It's quite painful. They begin the drugging, these, like you're talking about them doing to your mother. They drug them so that they can't cry out and complain. After about a week, they're in a stupor, if they last that long. And eventually, when they decide they've gotten all the money out of them they can possibly get, and they'll make more money if they get another patient in to fill that bed, they come in with the kill shot, which is 50% pure morphine cut with 50% Haldol, Cyprexa, Seroquel, one of these drugs, and within a matter of hours, they're gone. And the now the way Medicare is written up for hospice, on terminal care, if you go in there, they get paid just under $30,000 a month, the hospice center does. It's $29,700 and some that they get paid. If you, let's say you expire on the fourth or fifth day you're in there, they still get paid for the whole month.
Absolutely.
They get you out of there, they put somebody else in that bed, they get another $30,000. And they can do this multiple times a month on that one bed. So we have even turned murdering people into a thriving business. I'm telling you, this stuff scares me to death. It absolutely, in my core, terrifies me that this is happening in this country. The other thing we have to watch for here, and I'm trying to get everybody a heads up on it, is this organ donation.
Oh, yes.
What you may not know is even if you don't sign to be an organ donor on your driver's license, if you don't have a card on file saying no organ donation, you're considered to have been an organ donor. Simply not checking the box on your license or your application for your license is not sufficient. You must have a card on file saying you don't want to be used as an organ donor. And what everybody needs to understand about organ donation is this is not organs taken from a dead body.
No,
the person is
alive.
When they are alive, an organ, once the person has died and the organ is deprived of oxygen, is not usable. You are alive. And so they came up with this phony diagnosis of brain death. We're going to be doing a show on this here in a couple weeks. It was created by Harvard, this concept was. But what they have proven is that many people they've declared brain dead, if they gave them adequate medical care, would survive and thrive. But what they do is they put them on a ventilator. They call it life support. And actually, it's a death march. While they blood type and check for genetic coding.
Absolutely.
And put this out to all the buyers of organs, and if they get a match, see ya. The doctor who explained all of this said that when asked, people said, well, do people know that this was, he said, they are fully awake, but they cannot move or respond or object or cry or do anything when they begin dissecting them. They are fully awake. They know what's happening. Honest to God, I thought I was going to pass out. I just thought I was going to pass out.
You know, I've been telling people for the longest kind of time, you know, these wonderful things that are out about know your heritage, give us a drop of blood
yes.
so we can tell you your life history, your family history. Don't do it. your blood is
no.
sacred. And as soon
yes.
as they know that, they will, they have you lock loaded and you're a replacement part for somebody else. Don't do it.
Okay.
It sounds, even
they,
when they go to
yeah.
The one for cancer testing, the cancer screening, that new
yep.
commercial that's out, all of these,
yep.
do not do this, people, please. Let's
yeah.
let's use some wisdom. Do I mean I know what
now,
it sounds good on the top, but the truth is, first of all, you don't want anybody, if it's found out that anyone in your family has a history of cancer, that means your insurance rates go through the roof.
Yes, ma'am.
So you don't want to do that because it's not just impacting you; it's impacting your family members.
Yes. Well, and the other thing, Austin, as of 1992. This was under Bill Clinton. They signed this DNA law into effect. And every newborn in this country since then has had 3 extra drops of blood and umbilical tissue taken. Now, the informed consent that's supposed to go along with this is handed to the mother just as she's about to deliver. Get it? And, of course, she signs, because if she doesn't sign, they can't deliver the baby. And so she signs. But they don't tell the parents that they have 45 days to demand in writing that those samples be destroyed. So, of course, they are not. And but they have you have no way of knowing if they ever did or not anyway. But they have been banking this DNA in Maryland since 1992. And this contains all the genetic coding, any genetic defects, your blood type, again, what you're talking about, Austin, your heritage, any number of things. They already have it. And what they were doing, the state of Minnesota was caught doing, was selling this to research laboratories.
Absolutely.
For experiments, for vaccines, for this, for that, for some, to insurance companies, to possible employers, to universities and colleges who were keeping students out based on their genetic coding. And you're right, Austin, nobody should have this information. Most recently here this last year, the Minnesota Department of Health tried to come out and say that because they had that DNA, they in fact owned that child. And they were superseding the birth parents. Yeah, they owned that child because they had the DNA and they owned the DNA. And you people need to think about this. The other thing is, what concerns me is what's come out here in the last couple of years, especially since this deal with Libya. What happened there was we saw, and people just, this just infuriated me. This was such a horrid transgression against nature and humanity. They were gathering up young Libyans, dark-skinned people, selling them by the crate load to organ buyers from around the world. Because being the darker your skin, the more melanin in your skin, the more transplantable your organs are, the more likely they are to survive the transplant. We actually witnessed human beings being sold for organ transplantation, and the rest of them crated up and sold as slaves. And nobody said a damn word. Nobody said anything. New York has just come out. They're considering a law making everybody an organ donor. What? Do you know
that
with the,
yeah.
With, yes, with the population in the state of New York being about 42% black, guess who's going to do the organ donation in New York?
There you go.
And I just...
And people think that A doesn't have anything to do with B. It really does.
Oh, it
all
does.
Comes down to not respecting human life.
Yes.
This is just
well, and you know
about
what?
Not respecting
I said
each other.
Times, they have broken us into sections. They have commodified us. They have monetized us. They buy, sell, and trade us. And now they're selling our organs. What part is it that people don't get? You're a slave. You cannot be anything else. You are not free. They're claiming your DNA. They're claiming they have the right to kidnap you, isolate you, starve you, neglect you, rob you blind, and you can't do anything about it. You cannot do anything about it. What is it going to take? I just don't understand what's wrong with people. I don't.
I don't either. And you know, literally, I will say this over and over again. I thank God that I no longer feel guilty about this. I feel responsible, but not guilty, because you can't change yesterday. But if I had known what they were going to do to my mother, I would have cut the screen at Spring Meadows. I would have thrown her in a car and gotten her over state lines in 10 seconds or less. I would have done that. And I had her out of the country so fast, it would have made everybody's head spin. Had her out of the country. And, you know, I can see people shaking their heads like, oh, conspiracy theory. Oh, this cannot be true.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, with everything that I hold dear and near to my heart, this is an absolute true story. And I could not, and maybe one day they'll let me come back and I'll give you dates, times, and places that all this happened, and you can go look it up in Montgomery County.
Yeah,
this is all true. And not only did they do my mother like that, but there are at least 30 other cases that we can put our hands on immediately that they've done this to.
Mm-hmm. Well, my God, you know, Kaz, look at over these 11 years, we've on this show, we have talked close to 700 of these cases.
Wow.
Now, I'm sorry, and you can't get to all of them. You know what I'm saying? You cannot get to all of them. But so this is not a conspiracy theory, and it isn't somebody. Nobody had to do anything wrong. You just had to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and look like a good financial target. That's all. And this can happen to you. Don't think it can't or it won't. And I hear people say, well, no, because I did estate planning. Well, you're already in the system then.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know.
Yeah, so people are like, I'll put it in a trust. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll help.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with that.
That's what the Barnes Foundation said. And the Barnes Foundation is one of the, around here, that's it's like saying, what's his name? Hearst. It has that kind of financial implication. Judge Ott took on the Barnes Foundation and stole from them.
Oh, my God.
The Barnes Foundation, with all their money and all their lawyers, they lost.
And guess how much that was worth? There's a documentary out. It's called The Art of the Steal, and this is the same Judge Ott that we're talking about. He reinterprets a will, and he gives the state of Pennsylvania a $25 billion, that's with a B, not a M, $25 billion dollar art collection.
Oh my God. Oh wow. Girls, we're down to the last 3 minutes here. Austin, let's start with you. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
I just apologize to you guys for half telling a story. One day I'll do it coherently for you. Please don't believe that this cannot happen to you. Be vigilant.
Yes.
Be diligent. That's all I can say.
Yep.
And I think you did I think that Austin did an amazing job. She touched my heart, and I can't imagine the listeners that heard this story not being absolutely touched by the love that Austin had for her mother and what happened. I mean, I can only imagine people have got to be weeping just hearing this.
Yes, yes.
And thank you, thank you, Marty, for exposing. You're helping to expose it.
Well, we'll keep going, Cuz, until we can get these people. I want to see them all in prison. I want to see every one of them in prison. And we'll figure this out. We'll figure out how to do it. And it's going to take all of us. You know,
everybody,
it's going to take
writing
all of us.
Start writing up your witness impact, your victim impact statements. Literally, start writing them up. what you do has power, even if it's just, and again, you don't have to believe in my God, believe in karma. Write those witness impact, the victim impact statements.
Yes.
So that you're ready when it's, when you can stand up in front of these people, you are ready.
Yep.
There
you go.
That's my list.
I want to. Okay, thanks everybody for tuning in this evening. We'll be back Monday or Sunday night with Tanya Hathaway. And again, Monday night with the folks from Australia. And we'll keep rolling on till we scream loud enough they listen. We'll see you all next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.